Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Hi, everybody. Happy, happy everything this day. Happy everything this weekend. And those of you that are calling on the Most High, you guys know what that means. You know, the Most High. The Most High. This is Blog Talk Radio sponsoring Global Vision for living today. And I'm telling you, everybody really must have a vision, because where I come from, without vision, I'm told the people perish. And so right now, we have a topic that everyone is going to want to hear about, because everybody is not happy. This is our Christian. For those of you that are Christian, I was talking with someone yesterday, and they were standing right in front of me. And I said something about some fruit. I was in the grocery store, and they had everything out there. They had a big pastoral section, but I didn't see that. They had a big other section where they had Christian foods and cakes and pies, and oh, my God, things are so gorgeous in this store. And I was standing there, and I reached over to get some cookies that I wasn't going to buy. They were just so beautifully decorated. And I said, oh, these are so gorgeous. They look so good. The woman said, oh, I wish I could buy some, but I'm Jewish. And that was an opportunity for me to turn around and make a statement to her. I know what she was saying. You know, we don't recognize Jesus. And you know, she went on to tell me about they had Passover last week and this and that, and she looked gorgeous. And so I asked her after she had even exclaimed that, oh, you said you're Jewish, and we had a lively conversation. But let me tell you something. We have a lively conversation here going this morning on our show, and the name of the title is God Happy. He rose his son from the dead. No one disputes that. There's a few sectors in the world that says that never happened. You guys said it to further your false religion and to go after the credo of insurrectionist. That's what they call Jesus Christ, an insurrectionist. Well, some of us need to be an insurrectionist today. Most people aren't taught to be an insurrectionist, but I tell you what, they most certainly should. Is God happy? He rose his son from the dead. Can the heart of God be made happy? Will you even try? What would it take to make God's heart happy? Would it be worth it? Well, I read something this weekend where it says that those that do the will of God will get the desires of their heart. And I was thinking, are you kidding? You mean I can ask anything I want? But the way the author that wrote that summed it up, he said, if you don't get it now, you'll get it over on the other side. And if you don't get it now, God knows you don't need it. If you don't get it now, God knows that desire would not make you happy. So he was transcending over against what we might, out of our hearts, our minds, say, oh, I want that. It's going to make me so happy. Oh, this, oh, this, oh, that. Well, we have Colonel Harrison with us again today. You guys have known him. I didn't know we have done close to 160 shows together. So I know we've made God's, the Creator God, his heart happy, because we have hung in here, oh, my God, for all those shows. But now, back to the topic. Is God happy? He rose his son from the dead. Colonel Harrison, how are you doing this morning? I see your number here. How you doing?
Doing well, Dr. Capitino. Thank you for asking, you and the listening audience. Happy Easter holiday resurrection season to you and the listening audience.
Yeah. This is resurrection season. It won't be over tomorrow. It won't be over in July. It won't be over in November. It won't be over in December. Because I heard the great late Bishop James Howard Mann say, every day is a resurrection day. And I said, Bishop, what do you mean? He says, every morning you wake up and you're hit Your feet hit the ground. You've been resurrected. I said, oh, my God, you're kidding. He said, no, I'm not. Don't they teach that? I said, well, yeah, but some other things too. Yes, every day in the hearts of anyone professing any form of godliness, we should call that a resurrection day. But we know the world holds out one day, and we know Christ himself said, do this. Now, we don't have time to figure this out, but do this in remembrance of me. So I want to thank Colonel Harrison for being on the show as usual. Every Saturday we count on him. But is he happy? Let's get to the topic. Is God happy that he rose his son from the dead? Colonel Harrison, where are you? Are you hiding?
I'm here. Thank you, Dr. Capitino.
That's that question. Is God happy? He rose his son from the dead.
Thank you. According to the state of and the conditions of the world today, God is not happy. God is not happy because he's disappointed in the conditions of the world. He's disappointed in the conditions of mankind, and therefore God is not happy, is not pleased, because mankind is not living in the admonition and the way that God desires a man to live, so that God could bless man rather than man go through trials and tribulations and have the struggles that we're having in the world, the crime, the pandemic, and so forth, so on. So God is not happy because mankind is not following in the ways and the thoughts and the teachings and instructions of God who created mankind.
Mm-hmm. So some of those are reasons why he's not happy. Yeah, you know what? Now you really said a lot, because as we will recall, back in the Garden of Eden, after he created the first human pair, well, I should say the human pair, because there's no second pair or anything like that, but he gave them some things to do. And the one that really comes to my mind was for them to go ye, therefore, and multiply the earth. And there were some other things he gave, but I believe Moses, who wrote that, left it at that. And we can only use our imagination about what some of the other things were, because if we told him to go, he therefore and multiply, quite naturally he would not have to tell them how to. I think by that time they figured it out. But there was some other instruction on what to do with these people after you multiplied from yourself. So when they were told to multiply, Do you think God had anything evil in mind, bringing forth creatures out of his creation through those two, that a human pair?
No, God had positive thoughts. He had good thoughts. He had hopeful thoughts. He had righteous thoughts when he instructed man after the great flood to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, that mankind would live in the way of the Lord, admonition, which is a way of saying the way and instructions of the Lord. And it goes back to Genesis chapter 6, where God became the first book of the Bible, where God became despondent with mankind, mm-hmm. because every mm-hmm. continuous thought of man was evil, constantly, mm-hmm. ongoing, every day, every minute, every second, every hour was evil, and they were doing evil mm-hmm. and mean-spirited things. And so that's where we are in the 21st century. Fast forward to the 21st century, over 6,000 years ago. Here we are again.
Well, you know, I'm going to brace for a moment, because this is not really part of our topic, but let me ask you a question, Colonel Harrison. When did he, according to Scripture, when did he, God, tell them to go out and multiply? Was it after they ate or was it before? And explain that to us.
It was after. It was after the great flood. Mankind was destroyed.
Hold it.
In Genesis
hold it.
Chapter.
Wait, are you saying? Oh, okay. Wait a minute. It was after the great flood that he told them to and multiply. After the Noachian flood. Can you give us a scripture?
That's right.
I have never heard that. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay, just one. Genesis chapter 8.
So you are saying that he waited until after the flood to tell Adam and Eve to go ye therefore and multiply. I think I better ask that question that way.
Yes, because originally Genesis chapter 2, we find that Adam and Eve was placed in the Garden of Eden to be caretakers of the garden. And they had every manner of fruit, vegetation, everything, herbs that they needed.
Okay. I tell you what, my head is a little spinning. So let me, and I see a few here that want to make a comment, but we can't, hey, you guys, you can't comment this morning because we're trying to get so much in, but they're saying they want a fact check. You just said that. You just said that God told Adam and Eve to multiply after the flood. Well, by the time the flood came, it was all kind of people there because, remember, they had to work 40 years on that flood. So people were already out. They were already out in the community. They was doing bad things. So do you mean that God waited until all that happened and then told Adam and Eve to go out there and multiply? Maybe I didn't ask the question.
Okay, let's go back to Genesis chapter 3. After Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the garden, Adam and Eve had children. They had two sons.
Well, I think the question is, when did he tell them to go out and multiply? Someone here is saying there was nothing else created in human form but them, and he told them to go on out and multiply. You said he told them that after the flood. Did he give them that decree before the flood or after the flood? You said after the flood, he told them to go ye therefore and have relations and create others and multiply like that. So did I hear it right or did we hear it right? Mm-hmm.
Yes, in Genesis chapter 3, clearly God told Adam and Eve after they disobeyed him that when she had children that she would experience labor pains. She would have sorrow. Adam would have hardship in tilling the ground to provide food for his family. The instructions to be fruitful and multiply was never given to Adam and Eve. It was clearly given to Noah's wife, Noah's three sons, and Noah's three daughters after the flood in Genesis chapter 8, to be fruitful and multiply.
No, we're not up at Genesis 8. We're trying to figure out, because maybe I heard wrong, maybe the audience heard wrong. You said that they were told to go out and multiply after the flood. So I'm looking here through scripture. I don't see where after the Noachian flood, God jumped back on the scene and talked to them. After he put them out of the garden, it says angels with flaming swords were there. So there was no flood at that time. The earth had to be multiplied with people and humans, and they had to be bad. They had to start killing each other, Cain and Abel and all that. All of that happened before the Noachian flood. So maybe we heard wrong. You said that he told them to multiply after the Noachian flood. it was way before the flood that they were given that edict. So did we hear wrong, or was the question asked incorrectly?
We go back to Genesis chapter 2. You find that Adam and Eve started started a generation of people. Go back to Genesis chapter 2, specifically in Genesis chapter 4, Adam and Eve started multiplying, started having children, and their children started having children. So that begins in Genesis chapter 4.
We understand that, but here, I think right now, let's kind of move on that. Hey, you guys, and we could get back to it. But the point of this morning's topic is whether or not God is happy that he rose his son from the dead. Why do we pick this topic? Well, number one, because many in the world is looking at this weekend to honor a risen son. Many are going to be talking about he rose from the dead. It's even a song like that. But Colonel Harrison has said earlier that no, God is not happy. What are some of the reasons why God is not happy that he rose his son from the dead?
God is not happy because mankind was disobedient back during the creation. Shortly after the creation, mankind is still disobedient today. Mankind is not living in the way God would have them to live, in the instructions which are in the Holy Bible that God has instructed man to live. So God is not happy. God is not pleased because mankind is still living in disobedience and disobedience of God's holy word in the Bible.
Oh, okay. I can certainly understand that because I know he wasn't happy looking at his son being bloodied before, during, and after the crucifixion. But we know also this in the book of Psalms that when he and his father was surveying from heaven what was going on our planet, what was going on with his creation, and his son said, send me. I will go down. Send me. And there's the other reference in the New Testament to many of the apostles, send me. Isaiah said, and he's going to be born, and said, send me. So we know that the one called Jesus had a choice. He didn't have to come down and give his life as a ransom sacrifice to buy man in the form of a redemption out of what people don't even want to hear about, sin and degradation. So we know any father would think twice about having his son a human sacrifice. We can think back also in Genesis of another that said Abraham went all the way up to the mountain. So there's references of other sons. Now, I'm not going to hit on you ladies, but there's never been a woman. God just hasn't chose that to become any form of a sacrifice. Jesus himself called the 12, summoned the 11, and none of them were women. So we have known God to be watching from on high, and especially at the time he said, it now is over. His son said it's finished, but that God called Jehovah said, it's over. Come on, time to come on up, time to rise. So if God, as you said, is not happy that his son rose from the dead, what do you think God is thinking about now when he surveyed the land or when he surveyed the land on this planet that he put together so beautifully in the creation account there is in Genesis? How do you think he is going to rectify not being happy? He's God. He can do anything. Is it the time for him to be happy, because he certainly was not happy. He was sad when that stone was rolled away and he rose back up to sit on the right hand of God. Since you've already cleared that he's not that happy, what do you think would make God happy? Or do you think that he's even thinking about being happy with the world that we're moving about in? Do you think he's happy now?
No, because the world is worse shape in the 21st century than it was during the beginning of time and the creation. What will make God happy is that mankind, woman, man, boy, girl, would not lean into their own understanding, turn to him, seek him, find out who he is, follow his instructions for his will for their lives, and that would make God happy. Mankind has deviated from the desire that God has for mankind. God created mankind, the Bible says, to and for his pleasure. God wanted the earth to be a place of happiness, a place of bliss, a place like heaven is, or heaven the third heaven above, the same on earth. God wanted it to be in perfect harmony, a perfect unity for man, woman, child, everyone to love each other, love him first and love each other secondly. And because God is not happy, man can't come to love each other as God would have mankind to love one another. Therefore, we have confusion, we have chaos, and we have division, and we have separation. And we're separated from God because we're not doing his will in our lives.
Well, does it look like the world is going on about their business, not caring that this God is not happy, not caring about, who were the major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and some would put Daniel in there. You know, those prophets had a lot to say about end time matters. And every one of them, it didn't end well. They talk about destruction of humankind. And then Isaiah goes on to say, you know, new vineyards going to be planted, new this. But there's death and destruction in Isaiah, Jeremiah. Oh, my God, don't mention Ezekiel laying on this side and that side. None of them, and let's not talk about the minor prophets. Oh, my God, they come on board after those leave off with just about the same type of prophecies for those that are skirting God's laws and, of course, his rules. But I think our audience would like to know, well, if God is not happy and if it's not too late, what can we do to make God's heart happy, to make him happy? He's the one even refers to his heart. He said that. What would it take? Or is it going to be worth it at all trying to make God's heart happy? Is it not happy? No. Rose his son, and then it's looking like, well, of course it's done a lot of good. But it looks like if you look out your window into what's happening on earth, it ain't looking good. It's not looking like anyone should be happy. If humans are not happy with their own condition, we know God is not. What would it take to have God happy again with his creation?
Number one, for those who don't know who God is, to get to know who God is. Those who know who God is, to turn around, turn away from their ways, living their lives the way they want to live them, and live according to the will God has for them. It's in the Bible, 66 books of the Bible. Mm-hmm. It's written, it's laid out, the instructions for mankind. God is God the Father. A father is head of the household. Children have to obey their father. We, earthly children of God, the Heavenly Father, have to obey God. So number one, those who don't know God should get to know God. Those who know God need to turn away from their ways and turn into God's ways and do his will. And number three, that will please God. Once we live the way God wants us to live, that will be pleasing unto God. And therefore, God will become happy with mankind again.
Well, that sounds great, but I know it's going to take some doing because his son, along with the other writers, which are deemed the four horsemen of the apocalypse, they have a job to do in the end time. And one job is to bring pestilence on the earth. Then another one has a job to bring famine. Then another one has a job to bring war. And then in the final finality of it all, that one that looked like death on that horse, those four have taken off. I don't know how others have deemed that, but there's been some ministers that have said that those horsemen have taken off, and Jesus, the resurrected Christ, is in the lead. So do you think that we're going to have to go through almost a living hell because of our former stance and some now before there's an ushering in of a new heavens and a new earth? I don't know if even people turned around right now and repented from whatever ill doings they might be doing or have done. Do you think that would change the trajectory of these four horsemen of the apocalypse? It says, and all this has got to happen, and then usher in a new heaven and a new earth. Do you think that many will see that in their lifetime? Because it doesn't look like many are going to change. And you know, the scripture was saying change. The prophet, rather, was saying change from your wicked way. Do you think that's going to be a possibility that would happen? Or should we say a remnant will be saved out of all this coming chaos? A remnant will be saved. What do you think, Colonel Hanson?
According to teachings of the prophet Daniel, only a remnant will see and witness end times. A remnant will be saved during end times. The majority of the people are going the way of the world, leaning to their own understanding, and they are going the way of prophecy, so the majority will go the way of destruction when the four horsemen start riding. The remnant will be saved. The remnant will be a part of the kingdom of God. That's based in the book of Daniel, it's in the prophecy. So we can't change it. Mankind, now it's in the hands wholly of God because God is unhappy. And so the prophecies are being fulfilled as we speak. And so as we move forward to the book of Revelation, those things are disclosed to us, what is happening and what will continue to happen and what will happen in the future on the earth with regards to mankind and mankind's existence and mankind's eternal disposition before God.
Well, that sounds great. That sounds wonderful. That sounds like a wonderful prospect. Well, I tell you what, it's that time again. Thank you for tuning in to the Global Vision for Living Today. We've heard from Colonel William Harrison of the Second Union Baptist Church there on the East Coast. You can look him up. You can always email, and I'll give you that information. God bless you. Thank you. And don't forget, God is shining on you. Have a great Easter, most of you, if not all of you. Have a great day.